Glad to be with you again. So this evening, we thought we'd talk to you along the lines of the Lord's jewels. You know, the Lord is very particular who He associates with. And He is now selecting out of the world His very select family. Remember in the pre-human existence, our Lord, personified as wisdom, was always with the Father and always His delight. But that was the only one that was near and dear to Him. All the angelic realm, of course, are in their respective sphere. But God's immediate family is quite another thing. Remember, the king of any court has his family, and all others are more or less isolated from the kingly family. Now the great Jehovah, the great I Am, has during the gospel dispensation been selecting out of the earth those who will in due time form His immediate family. And we remember our Lord told us that in the call going out into the world, and all who hear and respond, all who so will and desire, as we said last evening, to take up their cross and follow Him, will in due time be joint heirs with Him. And in the picture of the bride, the church of the living God, the real church of Christ, not those we have on earth around about us named the church of Christ, but the very select number out of every different kind of religion and some that profess none at all, God is selecting His family. And it's not what church we belong to in the past, it's how have we lived every day of our lives. God is looking for those who are called the royal priesthood, the peculiar people, the holy nation, and the best of all, the bride of Christ. Now, our Lord, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, will be always at the right hand of God. And the bride of Christ, after the marriage of the bridegroom and the bride, when this select company called the Church of the Living God are all beyond the veil, all exalted with Him, then where will they be? They will be the bride of Christ, seated as the Queen of Heaven, right by His side. There you see, you have the divine family. You have God the Father. Now He has not only a son, but He has a daughter. And the daughter of God, mind you, will be composed of 144,000 of those who have been taken out of the earth and exalted with Him. That's what the scriptures tell us, that class will be the bride of Christ. Why are they called the bride of Christ? Because in due time, when God is ready to reanimate the Adamic race that are now asleep in the sleep of death, when all are in their graves will hear the voice of the Son of Man and come forth. The great everlasting Father, or the Father of everlasting life, will call them out of the grave. And what will he do then? Our Lord, the great bridegroom then in the heavenly courts, when he calls them forth from the grave, what will he do? He'll lay them right in the lap of the Queen of Heaven, seated by his side, that 144,000. And then what will she do? Why, she will take all those that come forth from the grave to her bosom, give them nurse, nurture them, and develop them up the great highway of holiness, step by step, higher and higher, until eventually they're able to stand before God and keep his law, and then they will all be worthy of everlasting life here upon the earth. You ever stop to think that that's the work of the bride? Why, is it any wonder then that when Rebecca was called, you remember, then the family says, "Now, Rebecca, are you willing to follow this man over to this strange land?" And she said, "Yes, I'm willing to leave all of my home people here and go into this strange land with this man and become the bride of Isaac." Now then, when they saw she was thoroughly convinced, she was ready to go, remember what they said, "Be thou the mother of thousands of millions." Typing the fact that in due time, the great antitypical Rebecca, which would be another name for the bride of Christ, the Queen of Heaven, would be the mother of thousands of millions. And that is the great, beautiful picture in connection with Christ and his bride. When the marriage takes place, then remember, "Now whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely." And then the people will be called forth from the tomb, and then go up the highway of holiness through the ministry now of Christ the Father and the Church the Mother, the Queen of Heaven. And now that Queen of Heaven is now being developed and taken out of this world. And I think we said last evening this was very necessary, because all who compose this company must be sympathetic high priests. All were taken out of the earth, and they know just exactly how to deal with a groaning creation as they come forth from her grave and start up the great highway of holiness. So then God is now calling out, and remember it says, "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life now, and few there be that find it. And many seek to go in thereat, and are not able, because of the straightness of the way." So you see, those who are able to put their trust in these heavenly promises and hold fast, in the end will be members of this Queen of Heaven class. And then the whole human race will be regenerated through them. Now then, I'm going to refer you to the third chapter of Malachi, where we have this language of the Lord's jewels. And we'll take the words a few at a time and comment briefly. "Then they that feared the Lord," properly translated, "reverenced the Lord." You know, when we were in the nominal system, we used to hear some say, "Well, now God is a great, oh, he's a vengeful God, and he has an awful penalty attached to all sin and wickedness, and we're really fearful of that great God." And now in due time our Lord comes in between us, and we're saved from his wrath because our Lord has come in between. Well, that's no philosophy according to the Bible at all. The Bible tells us plainly that our great Heavenly Father is the very author of the entire plan. And then he says, in regard to our Lord, that he was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. In the very beginning of the divine wisdom and reasoning out of the great plan of salvation, our Lord was to be the great center of that plan. It's not any intercession on the part of our Lord. He is only carrying out the Father's wish. When he comes down and redeems us and ransoms us from the power of sin and death, he's only carrying out the Father's plan. That was all the original plan. So then, they that reverence the Lord, not those that fear him in that sense, but those that reverence the Lord, speak often one to another. You know, it says that the Lord's people, who will eventually be of this jewel class, they love to come together at every opportunity and speak often one to another. Now, these people that don't have any tendency to come together and speak often one to another then cannot be in this special family, because God tells us that this class that we're discussing now, as we'll see classified as jewels, are doing these things. That's the way they do. Now it says the Lord hearkened and heard it. The Lord is listening and taking notice of all those that reverence him, all those that come together and speak often one to another. Yes, he's taking notice. And a book of remembrance was written before him. Yes, keeping a record. Written before him for them that feared the Lord, are reverenced the Lord, and thought upon his name. You know, it's a wonderful privilege to have such respect for God and love him in spirit and in truth to such an extent that we meditate upon his name and upon his law day and night. Now, that's the class of people that God is looking for and taking out of the world now, and that's the class of people he calls his jewels. And it says, and they shall be mine. This class of people that do these things will be mine. When? Saith the Lord of hosts, in that day. And mind you, we're in that day. We're in the time now, in the end of everything. Yes, those of us that have our eyes open are able to realize what's going on around about us. We readily see we're at the end of the world, we're at the end of the age, and we're at the end of the harvest. Everything is coming to an end. Gradually, as we said last evening, I think, this whole order of things is passing out, and the new order is coming in. Now it says that God will select his people, this jewel class, in that day when I make up my jewels. You see all the dear terms that we have in the New Testament, such as the bride and the royal priesthood and the peculiar people. All of these special terms refer to that class of people who reverence the Lord, who love to come together and speak often one to another in regard to these things, and study and meditate upon these things. Our God says, that's the class that will be my jewels. And I will spare them. A special divine providence, you see, will be given to them. Why? Spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. In Malachi 3:16-17. Now, when does all this take place? Why, in the harvest period. Those of us who study these things readily discern that we are now in the harvest period and in the very end of the harvest period. Then you could expect to see all these things taking place. And what happens? The prophet Malachi says Jehovah sends his chief messenger. Who is the chief messenger? Why, our Lord himself. Remember, our Lord gives us a parable. He says, now the nobleman, he had an estate here, and he goes to a far country to receive a kingdom. And then when he receives the power and authority of that kingdom, then he returns. And then he will reckon with his servants. And then they will all be a part of his household. And now you see that's what's going on. And our Lord has actually returned, I think as we said last evening. And now that invisible power of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is now working invisible. Nobody ever saw the devil, but we see his works everywhere, his power and influence. So the Bible tells us plainly, and our Lord is the authority, when he said, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more. Never see me again, because I came into the earth and suffered and died and was humiliated even unto death. But now I am exalted far above angels, principalities, and power, and every name, and I'll never humiliate myself again by being visible to the natural man. I am a great, powerful, invisible being. And now when I return and set up my kingdom, it'll all be an invisible power, all a righteous power, in contrast to the evil power that we see dominating world affairs up to this time. So then, our Lord, you see, will never be seen by human beings. Why, some will say, I don't want to say every eye will see him. Yes, every eye in due time will discern the signs of the times, and they'll be able to figure out what's going on by what they see taking place all around them. You know, you tell a blind man something that's hard for him to understand in the beginning, and after a while he'll say, oh, I see. Well, now that's the way the world will see. Every eye will discern the signs of the times in due time by what they see going on. It'll be hard to convince some, for a while at least. But in due time, every eye, every individual will be able to grasp the situation. And remember, the prophet tells us there will be a time when not only the Jews, but the Gentiles will be able to say, lo, this is our God. We have waited long for him. Every eye then will discern. Well, now you see at this time, our Lord has returned. And we're fully convinced of that because of what we see going on all around us. And it says the archangel, the chief one who has power and authority, the Lord himself shall return from heaven. And now notice, it says the Lord himself shall return from heaven with a shout. Now some people expect to hear a visible shout when our Lord returns and see him seated on a cloud. Literally. Why, nothing farther from the truth. That invisible one, when he comes with a shout, it'll be a great power and force that'll begin to operate in world affairs. And what is a shout? Why, something to call attention. Hey, hey, don't you see? That's what a shout is. Take notice. Don't you see what's going on? Why, the world will, and actually the world is waking up now. Why? Because the shout. What is the shout? Justice, liberty, freedom, all the advanced legislation you find in the world today are all in keeping with that shout that's going up, because the King of Kings, that great invisible power, is now returned and is taking charge of earth's affairs. And that isn't all. and says, with the voice of the archangel. There's another picture of power and authority. The archangel is speaking, invisible, of course, not audible, but his power is going out everywhere. Now it says, and the voice, or the sound of a trumpet. Now that refers us back to Israel. Remember in the Israelite arrangement, they had the 50th year, the Jubilee year. And when the Jubilee year arrived, the trumpet was blown, the Jubilee trumpet was blown, and what did it mean? All those who had lost their freedom, all those who had lost their estate, say their property to others, and others had possession, they rejoiced when they heard that trumpet blast. Now I get my freedom, now I get my farm back, I'll start all over again. Every 50 years, the Jews and the Israelites was commanded to do that without fail. Why? Because it was a type, a picture of the great antitypical Jubilee that is already in the process now. And that's the reason the world is all in such disturbance. And that began to sound in 1874. Now we know that by the study of chronology. And others can get the same information by the study of chronology, but we are convinced, because we've studied these things, and we readily see that in 1874, antitypically, the trumpet began to blow. And that trumpet is now blowing all the time, just the same as the shout. Take notice of what's going on. And now these blasts of this trumpet is getting deafening to the ears of great captains of industry, all those who have, you know, there are two classes of people, the haves and the have-nots. Now the haves, they have too much, and the have-nots, they have enough. And now the have-nots are rejoicing every day in every way, you see, at the progressive legislation that's being called for all over the world, mind you. Not only here. Sometimes we hear people complain about the New Deal or the Fair Deal or what have you. But now over in other countries, it's just the same way. Over in England, they have from the cradle to the grave. Why? Because the Jubilee trumpet is sounding. And that invisible one is taking charge of world affairs. And the great transition is now upon us, and there's no minds today that are able to cope with it. And the wisdom of the wise shall perish, and the knowledge of the prudent shall be hid. And then the scriptures tell us our Lord is the authority. He says when he comes, when this time comes, then there will be a great time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. No one ever shall be again. And except those days be shortened, no flesh will be saved. And we can look around us today and we see that we're just ready to obliterate the human race from off the face of the earth. All we need is just a few more atomic bombs or hydrogen bombs, and we'll obliterate the race. Now, won't that be a time of trouble? Look at the damage we've already done. Look what we're getting ready to do now. Why? Why, everything as it has been up to the present time is on the way out. Why? Because the archangel is returned with a shout and with the trumpet. Well, now he says, what does the chief messenger come for then? Here's the answer. Those of you that want to look up these things, if you'll take volume 1 and the chapter, The Day of Jehovah, on the first page in that chapter, volume 1, you'll find language like this. It says, when our Lord returns, he returns as the general of Jehovah and not as the Prince of Peace. Why? Why, because the great bloody work that must precede the kingdom of peace. Now he's here, but he's here as the general of Jehovah. What does a general do? Why, he controls the great army, and he subdues, he overthrows, He overcomes and he conquers. And then when he overthrows and conquers, he sets up his own government. And that's exactly what's going on in the midst of the world today. Every government, as has been in the past, is on the way out. And now, like Daniel's image, you remember Daniel saw that great image. Wish we had time to go in detail, but we can't take the time. But anyway, in the end, Daniel says, I saw that stone cut out without hands, and it smote the image on the feet until the whole image was broken in pieces. Well, what have you got in Europe now? Nothing but pieces. There is no stable government anywhere. Everything's in pieces. Well, I says, when it's broken to pieces, then a little while the wind will blow the pieces away. And no place was found for them anymore. And then that stone, mind you, that smoked, that invisible power of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, became a great mountain, a great government, and filled the whole earth. Well, now that's what's going on right now. And this power and influence, as it's begun to operate, will continue until everything is overthrown, and then you'll have the new heavens and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Then righteousness, the line, and judgment to the plummet. He that knows the Lord's will and violates it, be given many stripes. But he that does not know the law and violates only a few stripes. So you see then, we're getting ready for what the poets have called the golden age. And then when the golden age is fully ushered in, then you'll have the golden rule. You can't use it today. But in due time, when the golden age comes, then you can use the golden rule. And in a little while, today, with the golden rule in operation, if you use it, you'll go bankrupt. But now in the new order, then everybody will be so motivated that everything will be on the level and on the square. So you see, the world's getting ready for that. But what do you do when you buy a lot that has an old shack upon it? Well, first thing you do, you turn the wrecking crew loose on that old shack, and oh, how the dirt flies, and the debris all around, and everybody is annoyed in the vicinity by all this dust and dirt and wrecking. Well, now everybody is all annoyed in the world today. Everybody is upset. They don't know what's going on. What's all this noise and this disturbance? What's going to be the outcome? Why, it's the wrecking crew of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that's now working in the affairs of men. And all things will eventually be entirely overthrown, and then you'll have the kingdom of peace. Now listen. As General of Jehovah, to set all things in order for the kingdom of God, preparatory to the mediatorial reign. Now the world is thinking of the mediatorial reign. And when we think of the kingdom of God, we think mostly of that blessed time that will come. But what must precede this blessed time? Why, that bloody work. Now listen. The scripture says, sit thou on my right hand. Who's talking? God himself. He says to the Son, now sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Now that's exactly what's going on now. Our Lord is waiting, and before he sets up his mediatorial reign of peace, he's waiting until the Father consumes everything, overthrows everything, and then he'll say, now Son, you can set up your mediatorial kingdom and begin to bless all the peoples of earth. Yes, you know the Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Our God is a consuming fire. Why, those of us who studied our Bible, we know that God recognizes nothing but perfection. You must be perfect. And how can these governments then, all these organizations and systems, stand before God that are so selfish and greedy? Why, they must be overthrown. And you see, that's what's going on. And they've all fallen in the hands of the living God. Now, you remember going back to the time of Israel. Remember, every king that sat on the throne of Israel sat upon the throne of the Lord. That's what it says. Now then, in due time, God says, now I'm going to step out of the picture, and each king up to this time has sat upon my throne in Israel, and they've recognized me as their head, but now things are to such a pass that I will not continue with them any longer. Therefore, he says, overturn, overturn, overturn it, and it shall not be anymore until he come, whose right it is, and then I will give it him. In other words, God stepped out when Zedekiah was overthrown, and then he established the Gentile rule. Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, down through the stream of time for 2,520 years. And now he says, when the Gentile lease expires, then I'll step in again. And you see, that's what all the commotion is about. When the Gentile lease expired in 1914, God steps in. Now he's beginning to subdue and destroy everything. Why? Because he recognizes nothing but perfection. Now when everything is laid low, like when you take the shack and tear it down and the ground is all prepared, then you begin to the structure of a new, up-to-date, modern structure in every way, and that's exactly what's going on worldwide. Now then, in due time, when this demolition is completed, then our Lord will begin the new structure. Now listen again. Our Lord is now present and ruling by the authority of the Father, which is a bloody work. And listen to the language we have in this connection. Who is this that cometh out of Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah, the capital, you see, of Edom? Now here's the answer. I have trodden the winepress alone. Why, the winepress is being trodden now. And it's a bloody work. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the nations there was none with me. Not a nation on earth is ready and willing now for the King of Peace, Prince of Peace. They talk about peace. They get together at the UN, and all the conferences and all the attempts up to the present time has come to naught, and this one also is coming to naught. And it says that there's not a nation on earth that's ready for my peaceful rule. And I trod them down in mine anger. That's what's going on now. And I trampled them in my fury, and their blood was sprinkled on my garments. Now he's a great bloody warrior. See now, the great general of Jehovah. When God gets ready to do anything, his son is the active agent through which it's done. And now God is doing it, but it's being done through the general, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as his active agent. Now when the bloody work is all complete, then you'll have the kingdom. And now his garments, you see, are all sprinkled. The mediatorial reign will follow this bloody work. And that's the reason some, even Bible students today, say, well, I don't see any evidence of the Prince of Peace. As long as there's no peace, I don't see the second presence and all this. Well, now they're overlooking the fact that this great and dreadful day of the Lord immediately precedes the Prince of Peace. Like our Lord when he was asleep in the boat, you remember, on the sea, and those fishermen in the boat with him. You know, a fisherman are not easily disturbed at a little rough water. But now here was a roughness that was so intense that even these fishermen were frightened. And then they waken the master and say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And you remember what happened? Then he says, Peace, be still. And there was a great calm. But now that's the condition the world is in today. The restless, turbulent masses of humanity are beating upon the bulwarks of society in every way all over the earth. demands are being made, and these waves, these angry waves, are increasing more and more. Well, now in due time, when the time comes, then that same power, this was all done in type there, picturing how in due time, when the whole earth would be in such a disturbed condition, our Lord would say, "Peace, be still," and there would be a great calm. And then he will set up his own righteous rule, and that will be a kingdom of justice tempered with mercy. There's no mercy now upon these selfish systems and all of these things. Well, just stop and think. You know what's going on in Europe today? I like to talk about what's going on. Look over in Europe, and you remember, some of us can well remember, when the great Roman hierarchy crowned and uncrowned kings. And they listened to the Roman hierarchy to a great extent in ways and means in the government. In other words, the woman sat upon the people, the beast representing the government, through the horn, the civil king of the respective governments. Well, now you see what's happened in our day. We have been able to see that power completely overthrown. Until now, the Pope has no more say on the affairs of the governments of the peoples of Europe than you or I. And when he attempts to have a say, what happens? Just like when he told the Czechoslovakian people, "If you dare cooperate with the communist government, I'll excommunicate you." And you know what happened? The communist government comes out with a decree, and you just dare try to carry that out and see what we'll do to you. Now, that's the situation you have in Europe today. And at one time, we can look back and see when the Pope, he was a great power and authority. But he has no place to go now. He's out in the cold. And this is the only country that gives him any consideration. Everybody else is through with him. Why? Because he controlled a great church state. And he still demands the right to rule in the affairs of politics. That's his undoing. Always has been and always will be. Because it's not in keeping with the divine arrangement. Now then, you look back and you remember when we used to have the Tsar and Greek church state, with the Tsars the head of that church state? Yes? Well, I can remember. You can, some of you. What's become of that? Why, it's entirely gone. No vestige of it anymore. And then you remember you used to have the Lutheran church state in Germany, and the Kaiser was the head, the civil head of the church and state, and the Kaiser was the head of that church state. What's become of that? Where is that? And then you remember that in England, the Archbishop of Canterbury used to advise the king ways and means of government. Yes, he was their advisor, and there was a church state. The king was listening to the religious head and carrying out plans and purpose in keeping with their suggestions. Well, now, what's going on in England? Is there anything like that now? Why, you know, the Labour government, which is a socialistic government, has all to say in regard to the message to be read to Parliament. And then when it's all completed, then it's handed to the king and say, "Now here, you may read this to Parliament, but that's all you have to do with it." And nobody else but the head of the Labour government is dictating the policies. Now what's become of that church state? We used to have that over in England. They're all gone. Why? Because this is the fundamental reason why those church states had to make way. When our Lord sets up his kingdom, this new order for which we've been taught to pray, that will be a church state, and he will be prophet, priest, and king, the new heavens and the new earth, under the one glorious, righteous ruler, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the church, mind you, that's exalted with him, will be upon the throne, having a part in that great religious, righteous rule. Well, now what are you going to do with all these church states that are here? Why, get rid of them. And that's what's going on. And now they're all making way for that real church state that's gradually coming in, quietly but surely, just as sure as the day will dawn, it's gradually coming in. Now that's what's going on. Well, now then, it would be well if we wanted to be really informed on this matter. Some of us have. For those who haven't, I would advise you to read scripture studies, especially in volume 1, the chapter, The Kingdoms of This World. Now then, we used to read those things way back there 43 years ago, and we were all looking forward, way in the future, when all these things would happen. But now when we read those chapters today, The Kingdoms of This World, showing how they must make way and all that, why, we're living right in that day. And that's the reason it says, in that day, God will at the same time this demolition is going on, he will gather out his jewels from the world. Now then it says, and the next, the kingdom of God. Why, you'd be surprised. You read that chapter now, how it applies to the conditions in the world today. We used to read it 40 years ago. Everything was future. But now it's taking place right in our midst. And then the last chapter, the day of Jehovah. Why, does he have a day? Why, surely, and that's where we are now. Jehovah's carrying on. He's doing the demolition, getting ready to turn the affairs of the governments of earth over to his son. Now, that's the day of Jehovah. Then in volume 4, the battle of the great day. We're in that battle now, that battle of the great day, of the dark and gloomy day indeed, as Joel puts it. And that's where we are on the stream of time, just as sure as we're here in Kansas City. And then again, the establishment of the kingdom. You'll be surprised when you read this language over in the scripture studies, what has been said and written there in regard to the establishment of the kingdom. And I'm just as convinced as I'm standing here before you that this government that we're talking about is now in the process of setting up. Gradually, slowly, but surely, the new order is coming in. You know, when you go to a picture show, you see two pictures. One is fading, the other is coming in. And that's where we are now. And this old order is fading, gradually fading away. And the new order is coming in. And those of us who are wide awake, we readily see we're in a great transition period. Why, even the worldly minds are able to see that. They admit we're in a new day, the dawning of a new day. They don't know exactly what's to follow, but they see this order is on the way out. And what will follow? Nobody knows but those who have studied the Word of the Lord, the great divine plan of the ages. That tells us. Now then, getting back to the third chapter of Malachi. We've looked over the world, and we see what's going on to a certain extent. And I think we all agree that that's a pretty fair picture of the situation. Now let us get back to the jewels. Now it says, whom ye seek. The prophet says, when this time comes, this jewel class will seek this great event. They'll long for it. And they'll pray, thy kingdom come. Yes. Now it says, our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing when we contemplate the glorious time that awaits the world. Yes, that's what we seek, and we wait for his evidence of his return, and we're a witness all around us to that event. Now it says he comes suddenly in 1874. Yes, wish we had time to go into chronology, but we can't do that. And anybody that wants to look it up like we did, it can be equally convinced that 1874 was the time. Now it says he came